Okay, let's start with this. One of the key questions that people often ask, what happens to people when they die? Where do they go? And some questions that are raised, is there heaven and hell? I mean, you know, there's some people who actually say they're Christians, but they don't really believe there's a literal heaven or a literal hell. Or some people say, well, I think there's going to be sort of like a heaven. Well, I don't think there'd be any hell, anything like that. Some more questions is, where is heaven? If there's a heaven, where is it? And if there's a hell, where is it? And then some more questions are, what determines where a person goes? I mean, if you say, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to hell? What determines where a person goes? And what about Old Testament, New Testament? Are they different? In other words, if a person died in the Old Testament, do they go a different place than people go to now when they die in the New Testament? How does it fit? Now, some of you know this. We've taught it before, things like this. In fact, when we went through the Gospel of Luke, if you want to, you can turn to Luke 16, because that's where we're going to get to in a minute. But that, how do we know how this fits? And so what I want to do this morning, just probably this one shot, we'll go through it. If you have questions, of course, just stop me, but there's a lot of good things in it. So where do people go when they die, both believers and unbelievers, both Old Testament and New Testament? How does it all fit together? Let's start with a prayer, and then we'll go through it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you for Becky and Alan, and there they are in Mozambique. Thank you for their lives and their getting us the camera and being there and sending us a text message. Lord, that means so much. Lord, thank you for the ones in our class, how fun it is to be together week after week, and we get donuts and fellowship and fun and studying the Word of God. And so, Lord, thank you that we get to do this. We just ask you right now, Lord, that you teach us as we think about where does a person go when they die? How does all that work? What do you have for us? What have you taught us? What have you shown us in your Word? Thank you, Lord, that we can have confidence on where we go. And thank you for that, Lord. Teach us now. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we find in our culture that most people want to think that when anyone dies, they just go to heaven. I mean, they declare somebody dies and they say, well, you know, they're up in heaven. You know, they're with God and with all their friends. I mean, it doesn't matter whether they're a movie star or a rock star. I mean, you have some wild rock star dies and they all say, well, he's up in heaven with all the rest of the great rock stars. Or this person died and there's Elvis up there and this other person's up there, all up there together. There's almost an assumption that when people die, that they all go to be together in heaven, and that all the rock stars are playing together and all the great singers are singing together and all the sports people, great football player, he's up there with all the other great football players. Well, what, you know, why do they say that? Because people don't want to say, well, I guess that person went to hell. You know, they just don't want to say that, right? They don't want to say it. We all want to think that our loved ones and friends go to be with God when they die. That's what we think. Well, what happens to people when they die? Well, let's start with this. We have to start with the basic of all question, and that is this. What determines where a person goes when they die? What determines that? What determines if a person, as they say, goes to heaven to be with God or possibly goes to hell to be separated from God? The truth is this. All people can be in two groups. Those who will be with Jesus Christ for all eternity. We call that having eternal life. Or those who will be separated from Christ for all eternity. And the Bible calls that the second death. In fact, they don't live forever. They actually die forever. That's what happens. You have eternal life, which is living forever with Jesus Christ, and you have the second death, which is dying forever, separated from Christ. Well, what makes the difference? Well, the bottom line, and we all know this, the bottom line is faith in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You know, God did not send his Son into the world to do what? To condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believes is not condemned. But he that believes not is what? Condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The bottom line is, you can go back, I'm sorry. The bottom line is John 3:16 and John 3:18 is that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life and you're saved and saved forever. And so, as the next slide says, all who believe have eternal life to be with Christ. All who do not believe have eternal death or the second death, and they're separated from Christ. Now, so, we could say this. Here's the question. So, when a person dies, those who believe, they go to heaven, and those who do not believe, they go to hell. The answer is yes and no. It's not exactly that simple because there's a little more to it. The ultimate destination of a person who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior is not exactly heaven. And the ultimate destination of those who do not believe in Christ is a place called the Lake of Fire. So what happens? How does it fit? What do we know? Well, let's do this. Realize that all believers are going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, but it's not exactly what we call heaven. Because we all think heaven is up there, right? Heaven is somehow in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's what we see. But the eternal state is not in the heavenlies. Eternal state is a new heavens and a new earth. We'll be on an earth for all eternity. So we'll talk more about that in just a second. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 16. So to be able to understand these things, we need to put together what happens in death, and we need to look at the difference between Old Testament and New Testament, see the change while this happens. Okay? So Luke 16, and here's what we're going to see. Look at verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And there was a poor man named Lazarus who laid at his gates covered with sores. Now, you got a contrast here between this rich guy and poor guy. Now, rich guy and poor guy have nothing to do with whether they go to heaven or not. What we're going to find out is that the rich guy was not a believer, but the poor guy was. Now, notice they both died. Notice how this is described. Now, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels where? Where? What does it say? Abraham's bosom. And who carried him there? Angels. Now, notice. And the rich man also died and was buried. What happened to him? Then the angels come. Where did they take him? They take him to Abraham's bosom. Where did they take him? We don't even know. So all we get from that, now we're going to find out as we look in the passage what's going on. But what you have here is two people. Just so happens one's rich. Just so happens one's poor. It just so happens that the one who is rich dies and is buried. And we'll talk about what that means. It also happens that the one who was poor obviously was a believer because the angels came and took him to a place called Abraham's bosom. What does that mean? Why is it called Abraham's bosom? And we'll see in just a minute how that fits together. Now, before we go further in the passage, we need to understand from the scripture about the place of the dead. In the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, there's a word that is used over and over, and it's called Sheol. It's a Hebrew word that referred to the place of the dead. In the New Testament, there's a Greek word that is used a number of times, and it is the Greek word Hades. It means the place of the dead. Sometimes people think Hades and hell is the same place. They'll say Hades and hell, same place. Hades and hell, or let's put it this way, the Bible doesn't even use the term hell. It uses the term lake of fire. And so what we find out is that Hades and the lake of fire are not the same place. Okay? So there is in the Bible, you find a place called the place of the dead. Old Testament was called Sheol. New Testament was called Hades. Okay? And what we're going to find is that this place, this Sheol, or this heart of the earth, this place of the dead, this place called Hades, is in the heart of the earth. Now, Jesus taught that there was a place in the heart of the earth. Matthew chapter 12, 38, I think it's 38 through 40 or 38 through 42, somewhere in there. They came up to him and they wanted some sign or something. He said, there's no sign given except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be where? In the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Okay, so if you believe the Bible, and we do, then that means there is a place in the heart of the earth, which the Old Testament referred to as Sheol, and the New Testament refers to it as Hades, and it is obviously a place that people go when they what? When they die. In fact, even Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So let's think about what this place looks like. I think we've got a drawing. Now notice, here's what we're going to see. We're just saying this is the heart of the earth, and this first slide is going to deal with Old Testament. Let me show you something before we go any further. We'll find from the scripture that in the heart of the earth, there is this place called either Hades or Sheol, and on one side of this place, there's a gulf in the middle, and there's two sides, and they're separated. And on one side is referred to as Abraham's bosom, also called paradise. And on the other side, it doesn't really have a name, but it keeps saying the person was in torment there. So most people just label that side torments. Now, this is either Sheol or Hades. This is not the lake of fire. This is not what people call hell. This is a place in the heart of the earth. On one side, Abraham's bosom, paradise. On the other side, a place called torment or torments. Now, salvation is always the same way, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, and salvation is simply faith in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they believed in the coming Messiah, the one who's going to come and crush the head of the serpent. He was the seed of Abraham, the son of David, those kind of things. He's the Messiah and Savior. They believed in the coming Messiah and Savior. They were saved. In the New Testament, we get more information. It's Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. You believe in him, you have eternal life. So he's the Savior of both Old Testament and New Testament. Well, let's think about Old Testament. Because in Luke 16, when Jesus is giving this story, this is Old Testament. Now, let me raise a question for you. When does the New Testament actually begin? At the death of who? Jesus Christ. The New Testament begins at the death of the testator. The right book of Hebrews tells us that. So most of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even though they're books in our New Testament, they are actually Old Testament, because the New Testament begins when the blood is shed of Jesus Christ, the blood of the New Covenant. Covenant and Testament, same thing. So the blood of the New Testament, the blood of the New Covenant. So Luke 16, what he's telling here is something that is true at that time, and this is Old Testament. So let's talk about something for just a second. In the Old Testament, here's what you find. I think the next slide. When a person believed in the coming Messiah in the Old Testament, the believers went to Abraham's bosom or paradise. Okay? When a person was not a believer, they did not believe in the Messiah, the coming Savior, they went to the other side, torments. You cannot cross the gulf. It seems to indicate from what we studied this passage that people knew people on the other side. They could tell people were on the other side. Okay? Now that sounds funny to us, but this is, if you read Luke 16, it is not a parable. Parables do not give people's names. He doesn't say this is a story. He doesn't say this is a parable. He says there was this man and there was this man. And he gives some names. So anytime you see Jesus doing something, when he gives a parable, he tells you it's a parable. This is not a parable. This is true. So he says there was this rich man. And he dressed this way, and there was this poor man named Lazarus. And the poor man died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Why would it be called Abraham's bosom? Well, because in the Jewish thinking, who's the main Jew that started everything off? Abraham. He's the first Jew. Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, Jacob to Judah. It goes, passes on down to Moses, the great lawgiver, and on down to David, and then on and on and on. But that's what you think about it. So Abraham's bosom. Now, notice verse 23. In Hades, he's referring to the rich man. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being where? In torment. Now, we just call it torments, but he was in torment. And he saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. So he saw Abraham in Abraham's bosom over there. Whoops. Did it go off? Oh. Good. Okay, so there it is. And so you have, he looks over, one's in torments, one's over there. This is the Old Testament. So he cries out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus over here. They may dip his finger in the cool water and cool off my tongue. I'm in agony and flame. Now, torments, just by the title of the place, tells us what? It's not where you want to be, right? It's torment. So the unbelievers are in torment. The believers are over on the good side, you might say. We might call it that way. Notice verse 26. Abraham is speaking and says, and besides all this, between us and you, there is this great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. So what we find out, that when Jesus is teaching this, that when a believer died, Old Testament time, he went to paradise. Whoops. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, okay. He went to paradise and was placed in Abraham's bosom. If it was an unbeliever, they went to the torment. We'd call it torments, okay? Now, here's the question. And this is the question that you want to think about. Why is it that when a believer died in the Old Testament, why didn't they just go be with God? Why would they be taken to the heart of the earth, even though it's called paradise? Why would they be taken down there? And why would the unbelievers be taken to the other side? Why wouldn't they be with God? Well, here's the answer. The sin debt had not been paid for yet. The sin debt is a barrier between God and man. There has to be the removal of that barrier. And so the Old Testament believers were not able to be in the presence of the living God until sin debt had been removed. Now, there was a picture of that. You remember in the temple? If you went into the temple or the tabernacle, there was a front room, right? You went in the front room, and there was a table over here of showbread. There was a lamp right here, and there was an altar of incense right here. What was right here? A curtain. What was behind the curtain? The Holy of Holies. But nobody could go behind the curtain, because the curtain was a picture of God, and to have a complete fellowship with God. And the only people that could even go in that room were who? Priest. And the only people that could ever go in the back room was the high priest once a year. And so the average person said, the way to God is what? It's closed off. That's why they had to have the priest to be their representatives. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for sin, what happened to the veil of the curtain? It was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying the way is now open to God. And so what we find is that in the Old Testament, when a believer died, he went into paradise, Abraham's bosom. When an unbeliever died, they went to the torment section. Okay? Now, the best that we can tell is that when Jesus Christ died, where did Jesus die? Go after he died? He went to the heart of the earth. In fact, the best that we can tell, he went to both sections. Because there's a place in Peter where it says he preached to the angels who are in prison. It's a place called Tartarus. And I didn't put all that up there. I'm not going to go into the details on it. But there's some angels, possibly the ones that were involved in Genesis chapter 6, that some of these angels are held into a place. And it has the idea that he gave a message to them. I think his message to them was, I have paid for the sin of the world, and I am the Savior of mankind. And then Ephesians says he led captivity captive. What we believe is that after his death and resurrection, or after his payment for sin, Jesus went to the heart of the earth, to the paradise side, and took all the believers and took them with him to heaven. Now, when did he do that? We do not know. We don't know whether he did that during those 3 days. We don't know if he did that sometime during that 40 days while he walked on the earth. We don't know if he did that sometime after his ascension to heaven. We do know that he went into the holy place in the heavenly places and poured out his blood. We know that. We don't know when he did that. The Bible doesn't tell us when he did those things. Now, what we find is after his death and resurrection and payment for sin, then you're going to see this. This is New Testament, the change. Where do believers, when believers die today, where do they go? I think we have the slide up there, and notice what you see is that when a person believes in Jesus Christ today, they do not go to the heart of the earth, and they do not go into Abraham's bosom. They go to paradise, but paradise is now in the heavenly places. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he said, I knew a man who was caught up into the heavens. In fact, he actually says the third heaven. I knew a man who was caught up into paradise. Paradise now is not the heart of the earth. It is in the heavenly places. Where do you go when you die? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay, why is it that you can now go and be in the presence of the Lord? Because why? Sin debt has been paid for. When an unbeliever dies today, where do they go? They go still, and go ahead back to the slide if you can just for 1 second. When the unbelievers die, they still go into the torment's place. Now, what's going to happen to them? Well, and the next slide shows it. They're going to one day be raised, Revelation 20. Let me just read something to you just to show you how this fits, and then we'll open up for any questions that we have. We still got 5 or 6 minutes, so we got plenty of time to deal with things. Revelation 20, this is called the Great White Throne Judgment. At the great white throne judgment, God sits on the great throne and all the people are raised from the dead. And he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand there. The sea gave up their dead. Death in Hades gave up their dead. All of those who are in Hades, the unbelievers from all eternity, from all time, will be raised to stand before the great white throne judgment. Now, listen to this. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he's thrown into the lake of fire. So Hades is a holding place. Sheol is a holding place. Torments is a holding place for unbelievers. They're there until they're raised to stand at the great white throne judgment. And then they're cast where? Into the lake of fire. The lake of fire and Sheol, Hades, torments, they're not the same thing. Okay? So, let me give you this in just a little summary. When a believer, in the Old Testament, when a believer died, he went to the heart of the earth and he went to paradise. When an unbeliever died, went to torments. After Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus then taken the believers out of paradise, and they're with him in the heavenly places. So when a believer dies today, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, with the Lord. When an unbeliever dies, they still go into the torment. That's, they will be raised from Hades to stand before God, Jesus Christ, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, what about us? We say, okay, but we're in the heavenly places. Well, if you know, if you remember, when Jesus Christ comes back to set up the kingdom, we will come back with him. Or if we're alive on this earth, none of us, because we'll all be part of the church and we'll be taken off. We'll either be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, or we'll have died and be with him. We will come back with him, and we will be on this earth for 1,000 years. Then, after the great white throne judgment, according to Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. What we find is when we get to eternity for us, it's not in heaven, so to speak. There's a new earth, a new heavens, a holy city, Jerusalem, comes down. The city is huge. It's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles tall. That's how it's described. And that's where we will be for all eternity. So when you say, do you want to go to heaven when you die? You say, yeah, but that'll only be temporary. I'll be up there for a while, then I'll come back down on this earth for 1,000 years, then I'll be on a new heaven and a new earth for all eternity. So it's not as simple to say if a person believes, will they go to heaven for a short time, their ultimate destination is a new heaven, new earth for all eternity, the holy city, New Jerusalem. When an unbeliever dies, will they go to hell? Will they go to the lake of fire? They will, but that's a stopping off place first, which is Hades, Sheol, torment side. Okay, questions? Yeah, Paul. I think so. Paul's got a good question. He says, when the Bible says that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, if it was not so, he would have told you in my Father's house there are many rooms. Many believe that's the New Jerusalem that he's preparing a place for, that giant city in which we'll be in there. Now, what will we do in that giant city for all eternity? Because it's a nerve, too. The city, best we can tell, comes down out of heaven, and it says it appears to be suspended above the earth. That's what it appears. Now, we don't know. We don't know enough information. You know, you can't just say this and this and this because it doesn't give us enough information. So we know there's this giant city that we're going to live in, but there's also the earth. So where will we go? What will we do? No telling. But what will we do for sure? We're going to serve him, right? We'll serve Jesus Christ forever. That's what it tells us that we will do. So I think when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, I think you're right, Paul. I believe that's the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city and the holy city. Okay. What else? What else? Any other questions? Yes.
What did the people that were in Abraham's bosom do before they were in the presence of God?
Okay. So what did they do on the Abraham's bosom paradise side? I don't know. It doesn't tell us. Obviously, it wasn't bad because it's called what? Paradise. And paradise is a term. It's used in the Old Testament. It's also used, you know, and it means a place of joy, happiness. It has the idea of whenever you think of paradise, you think of a garden, right? That's what we think of because it goes back to the Garden of Eden, which was a great place, but because of sin, we were blocked away from that. Yeah, it's just a great place. Yeah, and I imagine, you know, what I don't grasp, is according to Luke 16, they could see to the other side and the other side could see to them because the rich man says, send Lazarus over here. And Abraham says, you can't come over there, can't cross the thing. And you remember what the rich man says? He says, then send somebody back. Send Lazarus, send somebody to go tell my brothers about this place. And what did Abraham say? If they have the word of God, if they don't believe the scripture, they won't believe even if one does what? Rises from the dead. See, if you don't believe the scripture, you won't believe anything.
That's part of the torment that you can see what you miss.
I think so. Now, we don't know about the eternal lake of fire in which it'll be, I hate to say it, y'all. I mean, it's true. It's torment forever. And I don't understand all that. I don't understand it. I can't even grasp that. It's hard enough grasping the fact that we're going to be with Jesus Christ forever. And that's going to be the greatest thing. One good thing about it, you could say, how are we going to live with Jesus Christ forever knowing that there's people in torments? Well, he says he wipes away every tear. I think that he's going to wipe away the memory of that from us? I just think he does, because you don't want to go for all eternity knowing there's people in torment forever and ever and ever. So, I don't grasp it. Yes? Great question. I'm glad you brought that up. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. When a person dies, physically their body is placed in the ground. Their soul, for as a believer, we have soul and spirit, because we have the soul, which is the part of us, spirit, which is the part that's been made alive. The soul and spirit, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He doesn't tell us anywhere in the scripture what type of bodies or what type of form we have in the heavenly places. What it tells us is this, that when Jesus Christ comes back, what we call the rapture, and we, if somebody's already died, their soul and spirit's up there, they're coming with Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means their bodies are going to come out of the ground, be changed, and meet that soul and spirit in the air. We who are alive and remain will be changed immediately into a body that will never decay. That's what the glorified body is. And we'll meet them in the air. So right now, people who have died, who are with Jesus Christ, their bodies are still here. Their soul and spirit's with the Lord, but he never tells us what form, what we're like up there. He just doesn't tell it. But we know this, that resurrection is always bodily resurrection. That's why when he comes in the clouds, the dead, their bodies will be raised to meet them in the air, and they'll have bodies, like glorified bodies, like Jesus, and we'll be changed in a twinkle of an eye, and we'll all have those bodies that won't wear out. We'll all be tall, won't have glasses, have a lot of hair, stuff like that. Yeah. Yes.
There's those that have almost died, and you might say they have died, and they come back, and they say that they saw, like, the in their mind, I guess, like an angel that says, "Go back, go back." My sister's one of them. Three times she has died. The doctors have told us that she's died, and yet she's still with us. And she says that she sees this white angel that says, "Go back." And she wakes up here on earth. So there are those that...
I don't know what to think about that. I don't see any biblical basis for any of that. However, people have experienced things that you cannot describe and you cannot understand. There's books from people who've written that said they went to hell or went to heaven and then came back. And I don't know... I don't know whether it's something that's going on in their brain while they've lost their oxygen and they're not breathing. I just don't know. I don't know. We'll know one day. We'll know everything. When we get there, he'll say, "This was this and this was this." Or who knows? Who knows? But you're right. There are people who've had these, that they call them near-death experiences or death experiences. I don't know how to say, I don't know what to say about that. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's what I know. Okay.
J.B., I'm still not clear on paradise. When Jesus died, he took
No, no. The Old Testament believer's already in paradise. When he died, remember he told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So he went down to paradise, took that new believer with him who was the thief on the cross. We don't know when he took everybody out of paradise to take them to the heavenly places.
Okay, at the rapture, the Old Testament saints will be raised, it says. Are they still there?
No, the Old Testament saints will not be raised at the rapture. Not Old Testament. They're not part of the church. The rapture's for the church.
Well, what about the Old Testament saints?
The Old Testament saints' actual bodies will not be raised until the start of the kingdom. That's Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2. We're talking about the church when we're talking about the rapture and the bodies being raised there. That's only for the body of believers. Right.
The second coming.
Exactly. The thing we wanted to remember, though, is the Old Testament saints were taken out of paradise and placed in the heavenly places sometime after Jesus paid for sin. And that's why even now, New Testament saints, the church, the body of Christ, when we believe, we don't go to the heart of the earth. We go to be with the Lord, and the body's in the ground. Yeah, I didn't really go into detail on that, so I didn't make that very clear. One of the things you have to understand, the rapture has nothing to do with Old Testament believers. The rapture only has to do with the church, the body of Christ. And the people who are raised at the rapture are not Old Testament saints, but only people who have trusted in Jesus Christ since the church began in the day of Pentecost. The Old Testament saints are not raised, their bodies are not raised, until Jesus comes to set up the kingdom. That's Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. So, sorry, I didn't make detail. I didn't go on that very well. Is the bell, second bell rang already? Oh, golly. Okay. All right. All right, now next week, you know what we're going to start, don't you? Feast of Israel. Okay, we'll do that. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for this, the teaching, Lord, and thank you for the truths that we see from the Scripture about what happens to people when they die. Lord, we know the bottom line is this. When people believe in Jesus Christ, they'll spend eternity with Him. When people do not believe in Jesus Christ, they'll spend eternity separated from Him. Lord, we want people to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Thank you, Lord, that we in this room have trusted in Christ. We know we have eternal life. We know we'll be with Jesus forever. Lord, you use us to help tell other people so that they too can have eternal life and be with Jesus Christ forever. Thank you for your word and how perfect it is. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank y'all. Thanks.